I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The experience of meeting this troll at VidCon was not unlike what happened when I met Josie Cat, the salty moderator from the Pathetic Virgin Forum. Instead of looking me up and down like he was Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, or asking me if I called my husband a racist in bed, or dumping a bucket of pig's blood on my head as I crossed the threshold, this guy basically groveled. He said he was so sorry for all the abuse he'd given me, that he respected me, and that he hoped we could move on from our differences and be friends. He also confessed a bunch of personal stuff that he used to explain where his anger came from. I was really taken aback. All I wanted to say was that he had misconstrued my work and put a bunch of words in my mouth, and to show him that I'm a real person and that his actions have consequences. I mentioned that whenever he made videos, it would set off a ripple effect with his fans, who would attempt to contact me with even more aggressive messages than what this guy's videos contained, and that it really upset me. I made it clear that I wasn't trying to be his therapist or his friend, and that I appreciated his apology, but really just wanted the harassment to stop. We left on decent terms, and I thought it was possible things would get better, but of course, the guy made a video about how we'd met and worked out all our problems, and we're now on our way to becoming closer than Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. I should have known he'd do this. Hating me was part of his career, and he couldn't resist the opportunity to cook this grade A beef. I sort of understood his desire to say we'd become the best of friends, and I didn't really want to start another confrontation by shutting it down. Plus, it made him look good, or at least like his behavior wasn't irredeemable, and it wasn't so different from the cinematic resolution to our entirely one-sided feud that I'd envisioned, though in my version I was more like a benevolent queen lording my power over him before saying it was behind us as long as he never trolled again. But something about his suggestion that we were equals who had put our differences aside got to me. This guy made 40 videos about how I'm the scum of the earth, and I'm supposed to forgive him because he said he was sorry? I'm supposed to consider him my friend? I would have a hard time forgiving my own mother if she did that to me. His new video made me realize he hadn't earned the benefit of the doubt. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Saturday, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews, which so many of y'all did.
Yay! Thank you.
It's like one of our highest number of reviews we've ever gotten in a week.
Yay! So, breaking records, y'all.
Shout out to the quarantine.
Shout out to the quarantine.
Shout out to y'all, you know, really coming through. You know, last week we only got one review. I was like, I guess they done with old Rod and Karen.
We love these reviews, y'all. When I tell y'all we look forward to this show, and that's a big piece of what we look forward to, is y'all reviews. Y'all just don't know how much those reviews motivate us and keep us going and keep us striving to give y'all the best show.
Shaming works, okay?
What said
don't,
so?
Don't listen to these people that tell you shame don't work. It worked on all of these people. We got these reviews. Of course, you can also find us, you know, theblackguywhotips.com. Leave comments on our website. There were plenty. You can email us, theblackguywhotips@gmail. You can leave us voicemail, 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. All this stuff is always in the show notes. You can follow us on social media. I'm at Rodimus Prime.
I'm say that again. That as in DAT.
Yeah, and our show Twitter, I believe, is the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find, I mean, Instagram, the Twitter is TVGWT, but the Instagram is the Black Guy Who Tips. So just, you know, follow us on all the social meets and all that good stuff, guys. Of course, another thing that people like to do is go to the front page of our website, theblackguywhotips.com, and you can, like, you know, donate to our show. You can support the show. You can do all kinds of stuff in any denomination that you would like to make it. And many times people will actually go out and do that stuff, okay?
Yay.
You can do it through PayPal. You can do it one time. You can do it, you know, monthly in any amount that you want. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a little. Everyone gets the same shout out no matter what. Just cause, you know, it's not really about the amount as much as it's just about the fact that, you know, y'all hooked us up. Now, of course, I don't have the audio for the new because everyone tagged us to it. Okay, I mean, seen it, but Kirk Franklin did like a remix of Smile. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find it.
You probably can. You probably can play it.
He did like a remix of Smile that had like all the blacks on it, all the singers, like Tyrese was there and shit. And it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I did find it ironic that people were shitting on that, Imagine.
Come on.
That people shit on that Imagine, but then when the black people did Smile, they were sharing it like, this is what I'm talking about. And I was like, it's the same idea.
Same thing.
I don't know why once, well, I do know why, because they white.
Right.
But, but it was just funny because I'm like, this singing did the same thing for y'all that Imagine did. I mean, technically, we still stuck in the house together.
Come on.
But, you know, I get it though. They shit was more hotter, as they say, on the Firestarter podcast. Okay, I did find it on YouTube, but I gotta, you know, wait for my computer to get around to playing it.
When it feel like
so
it.
So in an hour or two, you know, we'll play that version and do the donation shout outs. But cool though, just FaceTime, Instagram, all this shit is really bringing people together. And the sound quality was so great, considering, you know, none of these people were in the same house or at the same studio.
Somebody did some hell of a editing.
Yeah, black people, man. So talented.
We
man.
Will innovate.
Blackness, as they say on the Little Brother album.
We know how to work with a little bit and make it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, this thing is 7 minutes long. Well, we probably won't get through the whole thing, but
yeah, I guess play as much as
when you're driving in a storm, it is very tempting to want to pull under the overpass and wait for the storm to pass. Because
I didn't know he was gonna do like a whole like Kirk Franklin intro. I guess, you know, he had to preach a little bit. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Do your thing, Kirk.
I want to get stuck in the middle of a storm. And so even right now in life, it is so easy to just want to pull over in the middle of the storm that we're in. And you want to pull over and stop dreaming and stop believing and stop thinking that things can get better. But I want you to know that God did not build you to pull over, that you are storm proof because he's in the storm with you. So keep driving to that destination and I'll see you there. Let's go. I brought some friends with me, and we're gonna do this song for you. I got friends all over the place. It's gonna be beautiful. All the Africa workers, all my brothers and sisters in the storm.
Today's a new day, yeah, but there is no sunshine. And nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
Speaking of which, guys, it is a new day, which means new money for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne M, thank you very much, Yvonne. Adam S, we appreciate you, Adam. Tom W, we appreciate you. Michael S, thank you. Gregory A started a brand new recurring donation. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, baby.
Head to the new members class.
Yes.
Miss Hathaway with the recurring donation. Bomani Jones with the recurring donation. Nicholas Z. Rita May C. Noel W. Laura E. Sting and Sky, which is our boy Imagine Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out
thank
to him.
You, baby.
Olivia from Chicago. Pete B. Renate M. Ms. Barnes from the chat. Joanna M. Hit us with the brand new recurring donation. Thank you, Joanna.
Yes.
Black Film Press Comics. David S. Ricky A. Pretty Ricky, what they call him. Laura F. We got a one-time donation from Charlene C. Thank you very much, Charlene.
Thank you, baby.
And that's, I think that's everybody. There you go. Play us out, Church Blacks.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
Yeah, K Kelly Price,
mm-hmm. Fantasia.
Yeah, Fantasia, Tyrese. Damn, they did the damn thing. But yeah, so that was all the people that donated. Thank you very much, guys. All right, let's get back to the people that gave us reviews. Okay, we appreciate y'all. Y'all really came through this week.
I'm glad y'all put 5 on it.
Ow. TBGWT, this is by RX0456, who says, great podcast, 3 exclamation points. Great podcast, 4 exclamation points. Great podcast, 3 exclamation points. So we lost one. I'll say it again. Great podcast, 5 exclamation points. Thank you very much. That's all you
got
to say?
That's all. You ain't got to say a lot, y'all. Told you, they ain't got to be long.
You ain't
got to
write a medium piece, okay?
Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to write a think piece.
You don't have to write this like, you know, Beyonce put out a new album and, you know, you watch Black as Fuck and now you got to, you know, do your dissertation. No. You can just leave a, just, hey, I like this thing, 5 stars.
The end.
The end. And we will absolutely accept it and love it and cherish it because that's what feeds us. Okay, guys?
Yes.
We appreciate y'all's positivity. Best show out there. 5 stars. Would encourage anyone and everyone to listen regardless of demographic. Ron and Karen are wise, funny, clever, and you can't help cheering them on. Keep going, you guys. This is by L_Gatsby. L_Gatsby. Thank you.
I thought you were about to say Gatsby.
Me too. I almost said that. Did I do it right? With the shrug emoji. Like, I don't know.
Yes, you did, because we reading it, baby.
Danielle, CC put, hey guys, if this goes through, I started listening to you guys when a good friend of mine told me that you do Game of Thrones reviews, and child,
shout out to the good friend.
I've been addicted ever since. Unfortunately and fortunately, I'm one of the most essential workers since I have a new claim to heroism, being an AER and PACU, surgical recovery nurse, which has turned into ICU nursing nowadays. Ooh. Hashtag the Rona, roll eyes emoji. Thank you for the continuous content and comedy. I shared a lot of your views on things, and plus I enjoy learning a few facts along the way that I did not know before. Also, thanks for keeping your level of blackness on 1,000. We are black as fuck. I mean, that is true, you know. Shout out to all my other performative wokeness people. Can you tell I'm from New York? Hope you will be able to come to NYC in the very far future, like 2022 maybe. Thankfully and faithfully, your Leo Prince is still looking for the guy, hashtag lonely in the Rona, but your girl is Lola holla. All the best. Dad, she put the eggplant emoji, so she just letting y'all know. All the best, Danielle D. Oh, question, how many 5 stars are we limited to if this goes through? I have an iPhone. Well, the thing with iTunes is that every time you change your 5-star review, it just updates it and reposts it. Mm-hmm. So it's not giving us a brand new review unless you create a brand new account.
Right.
But we don't mind people reposting 5-star reviews.
We don't.
It's fine with us.
We read them as many times as you post them.
Keep it fresh. Keep it current. We cool with that. I just realized just now, I forgot to talk about the excerpt from Francesca Ramsey's book.
We were so excited trying to get to the reviews.
Yeah. When I finish the reviews, we'll do that part.
And okay.
We'll do Reading Rainbow. Verbal Medicine, we love this show. We love you guys. My husband and I listen every time a new episode comes out. Yellowstone Magic, Ryan and Jessica, Rock Hill, South Carolina. Jesse Cat ate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out to
Rock Hill.
Shout out to Sakalana. Y'all close.
Yeah, down there, Sakalana.
And I wondered what Palmetto Stone Magic was, so now we know who did that. 5 stars, Rod and Karen are a much needed voice to help me get through every day. Thank you both for just being you. Nice 111 says, thank you.
Thank you.
And that was very nice of you. Best dang podcast. I am finally leaving these well-deserved and overdue 5 stars. I usually listen to the Blackout Tips while I'm driving or working, but now in our coronavirus quarantine, I finally prioritize some time to deliver these stars. Karen and Rod are funny and entertaining, but I appreciate their authenticity most of all. I appreciate the LGBT news segment, and I appreciate their boldness to be themselves and talk about hard topics in our current bizarre world. They were doing it all along, but I still love it. Also, I love the Reading Rainbow segment. I've been meaning to go back and write down all the books that have been featured in it so I can add them to my reading list. To Karen and Rod, because Rod is the co-host. y'all truly make me laugh and smile in the hardest of times, and y'all give me hope in the world, that the world can somehow be better and make informed decisions. I can't say thank you enough. Take these stars by Justified Gains. Thank you.
Thank you.
Justified Gains sounds like a group of people that work out real hard, you know?
Yes!
We out here getting these Justified Gains.
They out there mad. They was like, we gonna get this workout 6 feet apart out here in the sun.
Great podcast. This is from McMiller82, who says, I've been listening to the Blackout Tips for over 5 years. Rod and Karen produce excellent and informative shows, and I truly appreciate their effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sending love from Oregon. This is from Renee Kensington, who says, it's been a while since I've left a 5-star review, and Rod and Karen deserve all the fives. I love them for their inspiring messages, enlightening views, and all that's happening in the world, on all that's happening in the world, and pun offs. I've learned a lot from them, and you can too. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always interesting when people say they learn from us, because we definitely didn't get in it for that, but I'm also super happy to, you know, be informative, you know, like, that's dope, because I definitely learn from the podcast I listen to all the time. I'll be like, oh, I didn't know that, you know.
Yes, and my pun game has improved.
It has. Best podcast for Black home health workers. This is from Stack, but I hope I'm saying this right. Stack Bajan or Bajan, Bajan. I hope I didn't fuck that up. I have been listening to Rod and Karen for 5 years, and this podcast helps to clarify and rethink the onslaught of information you see on social media. And I'm listening to this podcast daily on my job, and I end up laughing at Karen's puns and Rod's white girl voice, which I am never prepared for, and I laugh till my stomach hurts. Oh, I am a healthcare worker, and it is tough. And so I appreciate Rod and Karen, and the laughs help me get through the day. Thank you, Rod and Karen, for all you do. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh man, we appreciate that. We need people. It's really highlighting how much we need people like you, you know, and the person that wrote in about being essential worker in the ER.
Yeah,
like,
people on the front line. Yes, sir.
Really highlighting it, you know. People take a lot of shit for granted. Simply the best. This is from Kenny Too Tall. Rod and Karen are the best podcast in the game. That's it. That's the review. Thank you.
Thank you. Told y'all it didn't have to be long.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, paying my quarantine dues. This is from Christina Kubatis, who says, Rod and Karen managed to keep me sane while keeping me updated on the insane current events of our time. If it weren't for these two, I would not bother staying up to date on half the things they cover. I first started listening to y'all when Childish Gambino's video for This Is America came out. The video blew my mind when I saw it, and I immediately went to search for more info on all the references and influences. The episode where you analyze it popped up, and the next thing I knew, I had a new favorite podcast, and Rod and Karen are the best friends I've never met. Love you both. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we love Childish Gambino.
Thank you to all of y'all, man.
Yes.
And yeah, I, you know, that was, you know, that's, it's funny how there's like certain touchstone moments in blackness that happen, and that's sometimes it's how people find us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, that was a big one.
You know, Game of Thrones even. Mm-hmm. You know, like just certain moments where people are just like, I need to hear what black people have to say about this. And I'm sure we're not the only black podcast that gets that title. I bet all black podcasts get some type of bump in listenership when that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
But This Is America was a big one, because people were so fucking like, the hot takes was out, you know. It just seemed like whenever some major black shit happened, we can't just have a conversation about if it's good or not. It always turns into an indictment on that person's blackness from one segment of black people, and then a protection of that person's blackness from another segment of black people. And I know I'm often in the protection section, because that's just what the fuck I'm geared to do, man. Like,
right.
I don't protect everybody, quote unquote. Oh, you know, no. I don't feel that need for everyone, but it's a lot of people out here just trying to explain their specific experience of blackness, and then they get thrown out of blackness by all these motherfuckers that refuse to respect anybody that has had any different level of whatever than they have.
Agreed.
And I always feel like that's so not productive, you know.
It's whack.
Yeah, and it happens like every time. So yeah, you know, sometimes we do the show and it's like, well, this is why even if people are upset about it, this is why I still fuck with this, you know, and there's some merit and some truth here. Anyway, let's get to the Reading Rainbow segment that we didn't get to in the beginning. So that was from, well, that escalated quickly, Francesca Ramsey's book. And she's talking about dealing with a troll herself. Now we talked, I've read excerpts from, cause this is my favorite chapter of the book. I read excerpts from when she was kind of trolling this woman, or at least in a troll hive, even if she didn't personally seek out this woman to troll. And then she met the woman and she kind of looked back and was like, in addition to like, one, making this woman into some hateful caricature that she really wasn't.
Right.
I also could have been working on my own shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sitting over here talking about she got this type of privilege and this type of connections and this type of whatever, but it's also convincing myself not to work on my own shit. Like, I could be doing the things that would get me in a position to be, you know, her, or be like her, or to be my version of myself that is more fulfilled, period, right? So that was one side of it. But then, you know, Francesca has a, she has like a YouTube and an MTV show. It's called Decoded. And in Decoded, she explains a lot of stuff that, you know, whether it's stuff from the internet, it's normally a lot of intersectional stuff, a lot of feminist, pro-black, you know, that type of stuff that she explains. And so obviously that draws a lot of angry hater people. You know, and at the time she was married, I think, I don't know if she was married or just dating Patrick, who was her, I guess, ex-husband now, yeah, and then ex-husband. Co-host of Last Name Basis. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there will be people like, how can you say so much mean things or so much stuff about white people and their racism, but then you married to a white man, do you call him a racist in bed? You know, that type of just personal, very personal shit that they would say to somebody like that, you know, to take them down a peg, you know, cause it's like, how dare you tell me not to be racist? I'll show you by being racist.
Right, proving the point.
Yeah, and YouTube is a place where you can make an entire community and a whole culture off of like, hating people. Yes, like that, you know, it's one of the scariest things about YouTube. People wonder why I don't post a lot of our, like, why don't y'all ever do stuff for YouTube? That's exactly why.
Because I don't want to get full of nigger yeah, nigger posts.
But it's also just not worth it to me. I know what my mental health cost is, and I don't want to pay the toll to be YouTube famous or to even attempt to be YouTube famous,
right?
Because those people, you know, there's a lot of doxing, death threats, you know, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
why a lot of them to actually turn the comments off, where they was like, nah, we're not gonna deal with this, either you like it or you don't.
But there's only so much you can do when you turn the comments off.
That's
just
true too.
Like, that's just saying you talk directly to me on YouTube. But they, like I said, doxing you, finding you on other social media, all that type of shit, calling you, you know. We saw when Mr. Span had an episode where people was calling him in live to say racist shit to him. You know, like, the YouTube has, and it's happened over the years because it's not that regulated, but,
right,
you know, people build whole communities. And so this person makes 40 videos about friend, and now there's a whole community of, we hate this woman, and they can reach out. And maybe it's because she got the experience the other side of it that she can see, like she still has some empathy for the troll people in, right, a way, at least at the time she did it in the book. And it's kind of interesting because at the end of the day, I feel like it's like dealing with a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
The internet has the tools, I know I've said this a million times, to make us all be able to behave like a narcissist. Even if you aren't one, the tools are right there. You know, I can harass you, I can twist your words, take them out of context, I can gaslight you, I can shun you, I can form a gang of people to be my flying monkeys, and we just chastise you, and we call ourselves heroes for doing it. It's why I'm very, very fucking careful of even the people that I don't like on the internet and how I behave around my dislike of them, because, right, a lot of times you're not looking at it, but you're really starting to form some bad habits when, you know, let's say I didn't like something that some comedian said. Well, when I'm tagging them on Twitter, or when I'm joining a Facebook group to talk shit about them, mm-hmm, well, those things are not in my behavior pattern. I don't, mm-mm, I cannot like what you said and not need to like start a lifestyle around it.
Right. I just let people cook. Like, like I said, there's certain behavior that I don't understand. If I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you. Like, I'm like, cool, you can go your way, I can go mine. I don't follow you, I don't look for you, you know, I'm like, but that's me. But some people go, I don't fuck with you, but they know every increment, everything about your life. They follow you, they're obsessed with you. And I don't function like that. If I don't fuck with you, I really mean, what are you doing here?
Keep in mind, you can also monetize on YouTube the hatred of people, so it's even more, right? Like it's bad enough with just social media, right? The dopamine fix for our retweets and our likes and our faves and all this shit, that is enough for a lot of people to kind of continue. Like we all know people like this, where it's like, this person can't stand blank, and so anytime blank breathes, they're making some type of content about it. And for entertainment purposes, everyone's running over there to see what they're gonna say, you know? And, you know, and there can be some comedic stuff to that. You know, I've done that before as a joke with, like Jimmy Butler. Like, you know, like my joke was like, no matter what he does, I'm gonna try to act like I'm hating. Even, you know, I don't know Jimmy Butler. I don't really actually care. But, like, but it's like it's fun. Everyone's in on that joke or whatever. But like, if I started like tagging Jimmy Butler to things,
right,
if I was like trying direct message him, reaching out to his peoples to try to make sure, making videos on YouTube and shit, trying to make sure he sees me, I think there's like a level of that that's so narcissistic. And it, and this is the part that I'm coming to, and you know, I'm, and Fran kind of gets to it in the book, it actually can't be reasoned with.
Oh no. And she said it, you make a career out of this, which means this is your thing, this is what you do, and you not doing that means you have literally no purpose in life for some people.
And I'll take it one step further. I actually think it's like the heckler at a comedy club who, when the comedian gets mad and like cusses them out or kicks them out, if you ask the heckler feels like, I made your show better.
Yes, they do. Motherfucker, nobody paid for you. Nobody's paid. Who are you?
No one bought a ticket hoping that moment would happen. Nobody wanted, you know, nobody is going to high five you on the way out. Like, thank you for interrupting what the comedian was trying to do.
You didn't get paid.
Yeah, like, no one's going to do that. But they feel like, I did your show a service by trying to interrupt what you do for a living. And that is, to me, the epitome of the troll. The way that that man groveled before her, da 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 da, told her his whole sympathetic life story of, you know, I got laid off and that's where this anger comes from. To me, I look at those things, and that would have made me even madder. Cause to me, when you start telling me that, that means you know where it came from. So don't try to get with me, get with a therapist. I don't have nothing to do with that. You know, this, I lost my job and my wife left me, and then that, you know, I saw your videos and I got bald. No, motherfucker, go somewhere else. That don't involve me in your delusion. Then the other part of it is, he then flipped it to, we're best friends, we're cool, we're co-workers, we're equal, we're peers. So unbeknownst to friend or whatever, even he, by his hatred of her, he had put her on a pedestal. So him meeting her, he has to flip this narrative to his fans. It's not like he's gonna lose all his fans, and turn it into, yeah, well, we met, she understood, it was cool, you know, and you know, I let her know how I feel, she let me know how she felt, and I said, you know what, you know, it's cool, we could be friends. Like, completely flips the dynamic. That, no video of him groveling, none of that shit. And there, and it goes further in the chapter, like with them having more of a confrontation. But like, that shit just really fucking, like, nails it. And it's why I don't engage with people that really just truly harass. Like,
yeah, if harassing is their thing, right?
Like, there's people who critique, and there's some merit, right, to some critique.
It is.
Not all. Mm-mm. Not
all is not valid.
Maybe not even is. Most critique, to be fair.
It's a small percentage that you go, okay, that's valid. Most people, you got, right, to dismiss.
Like, there's certain people that could reach out to me and be like, hey, this thing you did, I think it's blah, blah, blah. And if I know them, if they have, you know, good intentions, if it's, right, said in a certain way, there's an energy you can feel from, mm-hmm, people who want to see you do better.
Right.
There's also an energy you can feel from people that just want to talk shit. You know, people that are just trying to make you feel down. People that want you to feel bad. Or people that just, honestly, in this case, and in many cases, just want to get your attention.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
yes.
They feel like they won because they got your attention. You were doing fine.
Right.
You got, maybe you guys know you're at work. You do your job. You have no problems. But there becomes this one person who's like, I'm going to do this thing until you have to stop what you're doing and give me attention like a fucking child. And that's when I will be, it's not going to be this conversation where I'll go, I'm satisfied this will never happen again. It's that moment where they go, that little smugness inside of them. It's like, huh, I got you to stop thinking about whatever you were doing and focus on me for a second. I won because that's all I wanted. You know, I didn't get any money. I don't get an extra life in a video game. I don't get nothing from this but your attention. And we all know these people.
Yeah.
But people online can make a living being these people.
Yes, they can. And the whole goal is to get you to respond. And it's human nature to want to respond.
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature to want to defend yourself, particularly if you have a fighting spirit. Like if you're the type of person where you're like, oh, I'm not here for the bullshit. Or if you're the type of person that you want the truth to be told. Or if you have the type of personality where you want to be heard. People like that will drive you fucking insane. Because you go, this is irrational and this is illogical. But you also have to decipher what's worth your time and your energy, because your time and energy is very, very, very precious. And we have a limited amount of both. So I've learned over the years, and for me, I'm quick to be like, okay, fuck them and move on, and won't think twice and go on and be like, because I've said this and I will continue to say this. I've never seen a one person fight ever. A one person fight, you look fucking ridiculous. You look ridiculous over there shouting and screaming and hollering by yourself, because it takes two people for it to be a confrontation. It takes two people. And if I opt out, it's not a confrontation.
Well, that just shows the kind of fights you've been in. I've been in physical fights. So one side of fight is normally a beating.
Because I'm just coming from my life experience.
That's why
I don't do physical confrontations.
Right. That's why a lot of times, I feel like
I call the cops on you, keep it pushing. The fuck is this? Sorry.
It's okay. Nope. Do your thing. Oh, but that's why I think that's why I have the fighting spirit in me. You know, I grew up, I got in a lot of fights. I didn't win every fight or anything like that, but physical violence was just part of the place, you know, part of growing up in our neighborhood, at least for the boys, you know. So I think it took me a long time to learn that skill that you already have, which is essentially, you know, plus once you're an adult and people ain't gonna put their hands on you, you really don't have to participate in that back and forth. And that took me a long time to learn, because I was very much Mr. Who Want the Smoke. I'll find the time, you know, you talking shit about me, let me set the record straight type of shit. And you know, and it's honestly within the last few years made my life peaceful, you know. And then we'll there's certain things that, you know, I mean, I still keep a clip in the chamber. I still keep a clip, you know what I'm saying, and low inserted just in case. But honestly, a lot of times it really took talking to people, you know, Justin even, which is surprising, I'm sure, to people that listen to the show. But it took me talking to people I trust, you know, Nick Jew. Like, there's a few people, you know, Chris, there's a few people that I go to where I'm like, yo, this thing is happening right now, Bossy. I'm like, what do you think about this? Because, you know, my mentality first and foremost is pretty much to blank on people and be like fuck you, I'm gonna set the record straight, you're not gonna talk shit about me, blah blah blah. And you know, it really took not doing it to see the benefits of it, you know, because like she said, Fran had this entire cinematic like happening in her head of just like, I'm gonna show up, I'm gonna point him in the right direction, I'm gonna let him know he had me fucked up, he's gonna understand there's no logical way he could be right in this situation, he's gonna back off and leave me the fuck alone, and I will go on happily ever after, having told him, you know, yes, you fucked up, yes, you better admit it, okay, you apologize, we're straight, but we'll never be cool, just letting you know, now go on about your business, keep my name out your mouth. That's how I was in her mind, and I used to do that too. Like, in my brain, it was, they will understand, they will see how fucked up they had me, realize they had the wrong one, blah blah. And that's just not how it goes, because that type of person that pursues someone, that harasses someone, that trolls somebody, they don't have that in them to have integrity like that. They wouldn't have been trolling you in the first place if they had a level of integrity that allowed them to be like rational when it came to you. So that was a big lesson I had to learn too.
And also, I think when you're talking about the difference, also I think with me being a girl, knowing that I'm not a physically strong person, knowing that if I enter this confrontation, there's a high chance I'm gonna get my ass whooped. I'm not a fighter. I don't know how to fight. Like, I know this about me. Mm-hmm. And so because I know this about me going forward, I don't come in with the illusion that I'm going to win. So I'm like, what can I do to de-escalate this, to get to the point that it doesn't get there? And so for me, that's kind of where I've always,
I can see that. I think the thing is, there's a lot of women who fight too.
That's true.
It's a lot of women fighters. Like, yeah. And I think for a lot of women, it's exacerbated by the internet, because right. There isn't normally a chance that we're going to physically see each other. So I can say some mean fucked up shit to you the same way that everyone's emboldened by the internet at times. I can say something completely fucked up to you and never have to worry about being in your space for this to have repercussions. So I think it's just your personality type. I think it's that too. Yeah, like I don't necessarily think it's just about being a woman or not, because like I said, it's women that talk we all know them, where it's just like, this motherfucker is gonna get an ass whooping one day, because every day you look up like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? And it's, you know, it's not just men, you know. Men already got a bunch of fucked up shit happening anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it was, but yeah, man, it took me a while to learn that lesson. I used to really think I could like set the story straight with people that, you know, obviously weren't gonna give me a fair shot to set the story straight. So why am I even engaging them? And it extends to the 5-star review, you know. The thing that I do, I was like, yo, no more, you can leave us a 5-star review and say something fucked up about us and we'll just laugh it off. No more. Like, leave us a 5-star review and be nice about it, or just don't leave one, because every time we read something negative, every time we let someone call up here or say something like where it's about something we can't even help, like, I don't like your voice or something. Mm-hmm. All I'm doing is emboldening the next person.
Right.
All I'm doing is validating your choice. All I'm doing is rewarding you with the attention.
You will not go away.
Yeah. I'm just helping you to stick around. And at the end of the day, I don't need to be rewarding that. You know, I see too many people out here that, we were taught very fucked up when we were kids, in my opinion. But we were kind of taught this thing of all criticism is good in some kind of way. And it's a very bad thing to teach kids. Mm-hmm. Because kids, you're trying to develop their confidence in the first fucking place. And then to tell somebody that no matter how extreme, no matter how fucked up something is, no matter, we have to give some credence to all criticism. I have a voice inside of my head that's already on my head all the time. I don't need to add another chorus line to the shit. I'm good, okay? Me and this motherfucker trying to work it out ourselves. We like, the last thing I need is some other motherfuckers in here saying irrational, unreasonable things to me.
Right.
In a harsh way. And I think we, you know, people need to understand that. It's, you know, it's one of the reasons that I'm so quote unquote easy on celebrities and singers and all that shit, is because I think most of the shit that people level at them is irrational. It's not right. Actually,
it's not based in any,
yeah,
it's illogical and it's irrational. Now some of it is valid, don't get me wrong,
yeah,
but a high percentage, once you get past what's valid, you get into the irrational.
Yeah, you get, this nigga ate cake for breakfast, and then everyone feels they gotta have an opinion on it and they can say it however they want. The other thing too, man, is as black people, we don't normally get the benefit of people having to talk to us nice.
Oh no, we don't,
you know. And so this is a platform where we can say that that's what the fuck it's gonna be, you know. And if it's not that, then we don't want to talk to you. That's it, because we're not going around talking bad or mean about your ass. So how about you have some consideration and approach us in the way that you would like to be approached, you know. I think that's a major thing, you know. It's like, we have certain norms in society that if you think about it, they don't actually make sense. Like a college coach being able to grab a young black kid by the jersey and yell in his face, right? That's a norm though. You right. Shaking your head, but that's very normalized.
It is, but right.
But if that same kid came to the press conference after the game and said, I'm transferring schools because you need to talk to me nice.
Right.
People would be more outraged at that than the coach grabbing him. You see what I'm saying? Because we've normalized that shit. So especially as black people, we end up having to take the shit into the stick too often. All these people dying from COVID-19. Black people start dying, and then it's, well, now we need to start talking about
opening up the economy and bullshit.
That's not what I was gonna say. Now we need to start talking about personal responsibility. Why are you smoking? Why are you drinking? Why are you fat? Everybody else been dying with pre-existing conditions, all this shit. All over the globe. It got to us. Van Jones writing a piece about why we need to take personal responsibility for our health. Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General, who never brought this shit up before. Now he want to talk, do it for your pop. Don't smoke, you know, that kind of shit. So to me, it's like, you know, and I noticed a tangent off of what Fran was doing. But to me, even the impulse for Fran to want to confront the person and talk to him. And obviously she learned a lesson through this, like, no, don't do this again. But even that impulse, a lot of that is us. A lot of that is blackness. A lot of that is, you know, cause she also modeled that confrontation off of Lindy West, who's a white woman who, she's a body positivity person. She's, you know, like, I'm living my fat life out loud or whatever type of person. And, she had a troll, and then she met this troll, and they had like a conversation, and it went so great. The guy understood and took it back and realized he was the one fucked up and all this shit. And I was thinking to myself, even that is some shit afforded to white people. Like, we don't even get that. So fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, let this shit, don't worry about it. And I mean, don't just go for white people. I mean, as black creatives, we should carve out a little bit of space for our shit and be like, no. Approach us with some respect, and then we can talk.
Right. Approach us with care. And it's one of those things, too, to where, like you say, this is just part of my personality. I think because, like you say, my personality is not to get into confrontation in the first place. Because of I know how I am, if you do bother me enough where I feel like I do need to look in your direction, it's not gonna be pretty for nobody involved. That's all I got to say, because I have a lot of patience when it comes to that shit. So I'm like, okay, I've ignored you. If I have to stop what I'm doing and glance at you and look up at you, I'm coming with everything. And I know me. I could be petty. I could harass the hell out of you. Like, I know that about my personality, and I know me. So I'm like, you know what? Before we both out here looking like fools, I'm just gonna ignore you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've never seen you be like that towards somebody. But I think you just also live an existence that most people just leave you alone, or, you know, you just have a very thick wall around you that just, you're like, I'm just not gonna even participate in this.
Yeah, a lot of shit I don't just know, rolls. Yeah.
Like, it's just stuff that would have triggered me. Mm-hmm. Stuff that has made me be like, you will not be talking about my wife like this. You've been able to just kind of be like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with this person anyway, and move on. You know, it's a very healthy thing to be able to do, you know. And like I said, I've modeled after you in a lot of these ways, because I've been like, yeah, I should be able to, like, move on a lot faster and a lot, you know, like, with a lot more of myself intact. Because what I realized too is, you know, we talked about this a long time ago on the show, but it was like at that time I was looking at Lipstick Alley comments on our show, and I was like, Jesus, these people fucking hate the show. And I was like, wait a minute, that's my insecurity to even see that, to even want to see that. You know what I mean? That means I have some insecurity inside about who I am and what I do. If I want to go somewhere where I know the comments are going to be negative, just so I can, like, read that shit. You know what I mean? And so if I know that this is a place that they don't really like anything, why the fuck am I over there hanging out? You know, like, there's a bunch of other shows that, you know, do better than us, bigger numbers than us, more successful than us. And they hate that shit too. So, like, what did I expect? They would like our shit? No, that means I was emotionally cutting. I went there to cut myself emotionally. And it's not, you know, it's not fair to myself to do that. And if I, And I never went back because it was like, nah, I love myself. I love what we do. I'm sure what we do is good. I have best of my intentions, the best, you know, the best hopes whenever we take this mic. And, you know, people fuck with it. So, like, what else do I need to validate me? Okay.
Yeah.
Other than 5-star reviews, y'all keep sending those in. But other than that.
Yes, y'all keep sending those in. But, I'm going to say this that we can move on. Also, I think too, when you are a person, and this is part of my personality too, particularly being a woman, when you have to take a lot of comments from bosses, managers, supervisors, comments from men, this is, like I said, my personality, when you just have to take a lot, eventually you'll just be like, okay, it ain't a big deal. It's sad, but sometimes it's that thing that kind of helps you navigate life where everything don't trigger you. Like, you be like, okay, and like the fuck that means, and you just do 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 do. It don't mean that you don't see it. It don't mean that you not acknowledging it, because you see it and you acknowledge it. But I can't stay here with you. And that's my thing. I can't stay here in this spot with you forever. If you want to stay here, you have the option of staying here. I have the option of glancing and continuing to move on with my life. I have other shit to do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I modeled after you because you're so good at it. Like, and I think also it's because of how you was raised. Like, right. I know you keep saying this because I'm a woman and stuff, but like I said, I know women, there's a lot of women that do not operate this way.
No, they don't.
Like, they be out here trying to start the smoke every single day.
Boy, they put some motherfucking hands on you. You talk to them crazy.
I think it's just, you have a natural disposition, of being able to let the shit, like, either roll off your back or at least to know not to participate in it because you can't win. So.
Right. And
you're just, like I said, it took a long time for me to understand it, but I learned it from you essentially. Cause it was just a couple years ago where I was like, I'm gonna do blank on our show, and you was like, don't do that or whatever, and I was like, I don't see the wisdom in not doing this. Let's burn the fuck out of all these motherfuckers. I'm mad.
And I was trying my best, y'all just don't know. Like, that was an everyday conversation.
Yeah, every day we talked about that shit.
I was like,
I don't care, like, you know, but that's the thing. When I'm angry, I can pretty much justify anything, which is why I try not to be angry, because, you know, once cooler heads prevailed about it, I was like, you know what, that's the absolute right thing. Like, fuck them. What's the point? Let's move on.
Right. And also for me, I overall have a very positive and happy personality, and that's where I always want to stay. It don't mean things don't bother me. It don't mean things don't get to me. But my thing is that you can always smile in the midst of any situation. Easier said than done at all times, because, you know, we are emotional creatures. But my thing is that regardless of internally what I'm dealing with, I still try to find the positives in everything. Even if it's something positive, as I learned not to do that shit no more, that's a positive thing. Even if I learned, you know, I might need to handle it better, that's a positive thing. Like, it is always something positive to learn out of every situation, but it's not human nature to go through something and pull out the positives. It's, I went through this and everything about it was negative. But at the end, if you're a better person, you have better critical thinking skills, if you learn how to love more, if you learn how to be a better human being, there are some positive things. And I think because of that, a lot of shit just rolls off, because I'm like, oh, that's gonna fuck with my positivity. I'm good.
Well, I mean, that's kind of true, but then also I think a lot of times you come to me with the negative stuff. So
I do talk to you now.
Yeah, so it's not just rolling off completely, just unbothered. Like, but yeah, you don't show out for the world, and you know that's, you know, like I said, that's such a smart thing to do. It's you know, I was thinking about this today. Like, I was listening to this podcast on the Griot yesterday actually, and it's called Dear Culture. I think they just started it. It's like 4 episodes in or something. Maybe it's been on for a while. I don't know. Anyway, it's really good. I really like it. And they had a episode about Black as Fuck, mm-hmm. the TV show by Kenya Barris, and it was really good. And they had one of the people on the show that he like hated it or whatever. He had made this whole Facebook post and gone viral how much he hated it. And so they had him on to interview him, but then they also interviewed Kenya Barris, and they also interviewed movie TV critics and all these people too. And it was like a pretty, in my opinion, it's a pretty fair discussion of the show and some of the controversy surrounding the show and all of that stuff. But the thing that really hit home for me was some people, because they made a point to be like, this person that hates this show has like a media company that they're enterprising, they want to be in that industry of some type, you know, that whatever, Hollywood or whatever, some type of entertainment. And I thought to myself after the show, I was like, man, it's kind of interesting. One, how much and how often, and like I said, I had to stop giving people the benefit of the doubt on this, but how often someone's critiques of people that are way ahead of them in the same industry, to me, it's like, how often is that fueled by some level of jealousy?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
You know, it's like,
if you look at what they're saying in their actions sometimes, yes.
It doesn't mean they're totally wrong. It doesn't mean their criticisms are not valid, but a lot of times they have made this out to be the worst thing in the world when they sell it to everybody else. It's like, this is a problem that needs to be stopped. And it's like, this person's ahead of you on the track. And if somehow the world would decide that they don't fuck with this person, you feel like you would be one step closer to where you want to be. Right. And that goes with activism, a lot of shit. Like, you just see it in every industry. You know, it's one of the reasons I stopped talking about like radio shows and TV shows and shit that, you know, if like they might be bigger than us and I may disagree with something, but I don't want to turn our show into the recap show of what we disagree about on their show shit.
Right. Cause I feel like, hear their opinion, go listen to it.
I feel like that's what I used to do too much. So then the other part of it that I thought about is, okay, say you do want to be in that industry and you know, Kenya Barris is a mover and a shaker in that industry. You burning a bridge that don't even exist yet.
Mm-mm.
You know, because there has to be a way to critique this person or to say, you know, this is an area I feel like they could improve in or could have done something differently without completely being like, and this person is essentially, you know, the worst and all their work is the worst and I don't understand this person. Because I was thinking about that when I was listening. I was like, you burned a bridge that don't even exist and won't, you know, may never exist, because people got smaller ears than you think, dog. Like, we've had people that are like, I heard the show and I'm like, what the fuck? You a celebrity, you're not supposed to be listening to shit, you know? Like, it was one of the reasons I changed, you know, I really was more mindful of how we talk on the show, because right. I was like, oh yeah, people can hear this.
Yeah, you never know who knows who and who's listening on the staff. Or...
And every podcast goes through this, by the way.
Yes, they do. All your favorite, big enough.
Listen to all of your podcasts that talk culture. Listen to when they start out and listen to how they end up.
Now, right, it ain't the same.
When they start out, everybody talks reckless because this is not people. This is not a
right
conversation we're really having yet. You don't really understand it at the moment. You just think like, yeah, I'm talking about this thing because I like talking about it or whatever. And then later you're like, wait a fucking minute, this is real.
Yeah, and you can slowly see the shift. I've seen it on several podcasts, like as they got bigger and all that stuff. I've just seen the shift, which is not a bad thing. A lot of times it's a good thing.
Meeting Fonte for me was a big one. You know, because I mean, I didn't feel like I said anything too mean when we talked to Chris Lambert about Charity Starts at Home, but like, it never would have crossed my mind that Fonte would have listened to that shit. Right. And then it triply never would have crossed my mind that one day I would get to meet this nigga, and I'm a huge fan of him. So I, you know, the last thing I want him thinking is the one album I wasn't fucking with means like he ain't shit, you know. But
right,
you know, to him, he may have taken it that way, and I think that's some real shit, and you can only learn that from experience. So anyway, I think that's, you know, that's a major part of it. And that's what I thought when I listened to that shit, was like, man, if you're ever in the room and there's, you know, you gotta pitch a project to somebody, you gotta whatever, who wants this motherfucker out here existing in the world with, that's a gatekeeper, has all this money and power, that can just be like, nah, not him, fuck him.
Yeah, you won't even know why you'll never know it. And you won't even know that their hands are in there, because that's the thing, you never know who's doing what.
And let's keep it real, you're not big enough to not do that yourself. Like, if you, like, how many people do you talk shit about and can't forgive and can't move past. And if you had an opportunity to shut they shit down, you would do it. That, I wonder, I just think about that shit sometimes. Like, you should never not be untruthful, but there's a way of delivering the truth that doesn't, like, it might not get all the retweets. No, your post won't go viral. No, everybody won't high five you, but, you know, it's something to, the delivery method is something as well.
Yeah, you can tell anybody anything as long as you do it in the right way. And people don't want to hear the right way. They want to hear, well, I said what I said. Okay, well, I also had a response. I also can respond to what you said in the manner that you delivered it. And yeah, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
But like, you're speaking the truth though, right?
Like, I just feel like, the delivery method says more about me than it says about the person I'm talking about.
Correct.
There's like a certain level of authenticity and realness that comes across when you listen to somebody say, hey, you know, like I wasn't a big fan of Queen of Slim. There's a difference between me saying that and me being like, Lena Waithe is trash.
Right.
You know, like I think there's a difference between me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't like some of the choices in the movie, but I did like this, this, and this about the movie, you know? So anyway, that was it. That was a long one.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
I think we got a question in the chat.
Yeah, I see it. Speaking of, I remember this from Nizzle D. Speaking of, or is it Nizzy D? Nizzle D, okay. Speaking of, I remember years ago, some guy was harassing the show and attacking Karen. You had some fiery words for the man. If I remember correct, he lost his job over it. Did he ever contact you guys again? No, he didn't. Well, he apologized. But I don't know if he had fiery words for Karen or not. I can't remember how it went. You talking about Critter Getter? It's been more than one.
It's been multiple, y'all.
Yeah, it could be that, if it's that Critter Getter dude, then, he didn't, I don't think he lost his job, but his people, his boss or whatever, wrote back saying he wouldn't do it again, and he apologized and all that shit, and, you know, I just ignored the apology or whatever. It's, you know, my whole point is leave us alone. I'm not necessarily a, come say it to my face, you know, leave us the fuck alone. We just create, we want to be in a good vibe. That's it. Another one was that Lukey dog, Lukey in the morning thing. And when I got done with him, not only had he like apologized or whatever, but he was like he gave a very thorough fucking apology. I'll put it that way. Like, his shit was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what I was thinking, because he also had a job where he worked with kids in like the Baltimore area or DC area or something. Right. And he was like a music person and these kids, and there's a lot of black kids, and I was like, bro, you can't be joking like this. Like, I'm sorry that, you know, you need to get some steam off of shit, freedom of speech or whatever. You don't get to, like, I've probably saved you. Let one of these people, parents, find out you doing this shit and you do this job. But he gave a very sincere, thorough apology. Like, who knows if he meant it or not, because I didn't keep up with the rest of his life. He's gone on to do whatever he does. But, yeah, man, that, you know. And then I also remember, too, what was funny is after the it was either Critter Getter or that Luke Dog dude, there were some dudes that were, quote-unquote, friends of the show that all of a sudden they started talking shit about us. And at the time, I didn't really understand, because this is like our first time really going through a lot of this shit. But now I do understand. By me getting mad at that Luke Dog shit, putting it on the show, like, really fucking going at him, those people who seem to be cool with the show, but apparently either they really weren't cool with us, or they really just wanted to, like, burn a bridge. I can't even remember their names. This is how... Oh, that's gonna kill me. Fuck. Anyway,
it ain't that important.
Yeah. They had a podcast at the time, and we went on it. Like, it was I thought we had a good time, and they fucking started talking shit about us too. And now I look back, and I'm like, oh, because I talked shit about this one person, right, and they saw the attention that got.
It's a nonstop pattern, and that's the thing that people fail to realize.
Right, I was helping it. I was fueling it. And I remember at one point talking about the other dude's podcast. I was like, "Go listen to them. Like they want. Like if you're just talking shit about us to get some listens, I'll tell everyone. Here's the name of your podcast. God, I can't remember the name. This is the name of your podcast. Go get. I hope you get the most downloads ever, because if you do, all that is a testament to us being so fucking great at what we do that even talking shit about us elevates you somewhat. You'll never be on our level, but it'll help you to get the attention that you must want. And what's gonna happen is that even those people who go there to hear you talk shit about us will be turned off and be bored, and you'll be right back to zero listens or whatever it is, and give it a couple weeks and they'll be right back down to people being like, I actually don't, these motherfuckers aren't good at this podcast, I don't like them. So yeah, man, it's so we anyway.
Yeah, we're talking from experience. Yeah, and you know, and it's because I listen to so many podcasts, you can hear podcasters go through this, and it's just, I just sit back and just let them go for the ride, and a lot of them after a while they change the attitude, and a lot of times they do the same thing we do because they're like, oh, this is some bullshit, I have other things I could be put my energy into.
Yeah, I've definitely had my virtual moments like Fran where I thought maybe if I talk to this person or explain my side of this thing on our show, they'll understand, but not worth it. All right, let's get to the comments on the website. That Rona part two was a Medium talk that I just did with Whitney Robinson. She's an epidemiologist among other things, and we talked about the coronavirus from pandemic point of view. Great episode. This is from Brooklyn Shubay. Great episode. Taking a slight detour, I appreciate hearing about a black woman in a science field. My daughter is really good at math and science and wants a career that will combine the two. I didn't know epidemiologist is a career option. Representation matters. Thank you, Dr. Whitney.
It does.
Yeah, a couple things. One, this is why I asked her about, like, how did you even get in this field and all that stuff. That was definitely part of it. But then, also, you know, you never know who's listening, man. You know, and lastly, black people, ain't it funny? She was like, Dr. Whitney, ain't that what we do? We will look. We got love for you. We will say doctor in that first name in a heartbeat.
I hope, oh, we earned it.
Yeah, I hope they understand. No. Okay, no, that's not what I'm saying. Oh. You're supposed to say doctor their last name.
Oh,
so it's not about earned. It's actually some people even take it as overly familiar. But what I'm saying is, black people, we do that, and I love it. I love us. I love that we do that. It's like, you know, your aunt introduced to her friend, and now that's Miss so and so, you know,
by the first name. Yeah.
It's just a black thing, at least down here it is. So to me, I love it, but I know some, you know, the Oprahs of the world, the don't call me aunties, sometimes they get mad about that shit and be like, call me by my last name.
Yeah, y'all better hope I don't get no letters and no degrees. I'm Dr. Karen, doctor.
Yeah. Rigo 1819 leaves a comment on our feedback episode, which was 2088. Her name is Karen, and she's here to say. Rigo says, yes, Karen is here to say. Good on any MLK Boulevard. Don't put yourself down because I'm here for those bars.
Thank you.
The poll was, can you freestyle rap? Yes. Yes, but badly. And no. Karen?
Oh, yes, but badly.
16% of the audience is with Karen. Yes, but badly. 7% said yes. And then 76% said no. And Lakita says, I can't freestyle, but I adore Karen's bravery. No, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, I get out there. Even if I look like a fool, I get out there.
And I'll say I can freestyle. But I would say I can freestyle just yes. And then it might be bad, but I'm not going to put that on myself to start. You see what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes it is probably bad, and then sometimes it's actually good. It just depends on the day, you know.
Yeah, Sweetwater Tavola got some fans.
2089, blacks are human too. We got two comments. EVE says, and this is when yeah, we talked about a bunch of just white supremacy, coronavirus news, bad baby. EVE says, those two teens who made the racist TikTok video is the embodiment of life comes at you fast. Mm-hmm. The video was pretty fucking racist, but Black Twitter CSI was on the case, weren't they? The girl in the video issues a fake apology while throwing her boyfriend under the bus and got expelled and her admission to college rescinded. And then she issued another statement saying everyone on the internet ruined her life. No, she ruined her own life, and I couldn't bring myself to feel a bit sorry for her. A lot of people make stupid mistakes, but teens today have had the internet long enough to know better. Right. These two just thought that their followers would find it funny and nothing would happen. Fuck these kids and their parents who most definitely voted for Trump. Yeah, the only thing I'll say is I saw some screenshots and I wasn't sure if that was all from her account. Like, the first one was from her account, but then the second one had a different username. So I don't know if all those were things she said or someone was trolling us and made a fake, like some fake other stuff, or if she made a new account. Like, I don't know the whole story. I just knew enough to know that, you know, that initial video was just stupid enough for me to be like, all right, well, whatever happens to him happens. Felix says, those French doctors, bruv, absolute insanity that people like that have such high positions. I knew that disgusting segment really did the rounds when I saw it pop up in my grandparents' WhatsApp group. The visceral reaction from me and basically every African on the internet, man, so nice when we can all put the diaspora wars to the side and form Voltron to loudly make ourselves heard. I have so many older relatives and others with various medical conditions. Just the thought of them having to suffer through some neo-colonial garbage like that was suggested. Makes me live it. Yeah,
I'm with you, baby.
I can't believe they said that shit on national, like, just TV, like
it wasn't nothing. Like, ain't this the shit we always do?
Like, maybe we should inject some Africans, you know, do some tests. It's like,
yo mama,
like, nobody could have run off the side and with a hook like Sandman from Apollo get them out of here. The poll: do you wipe down the food and groceries when you get them home now?
We do.
Yes or no? Yes, we do. But guess what, Karen?
What?
Only 51% of the people in our poll said yes. 49% say no. Now, we read that thing that said you pretty much can't get it that way, which is a great point. And, you know, they're not wrong. Mm-mm. And I will admit, I'm not a scientist, but I am paranoid.
So we wipe down everything.
We just wipe it down. I don't know what to tell you.
We've been outside too long. Did you take your clothes off? Did you wash your hands?
I've been saying from day one when we talk coronavirus on this show,
I'd rather be too cautious and then not cautious enough.
That is not what I've been saying. That's what Karen apparently has been saying. What I was gonna say, Karen, is I've been saying from day one that I could be reading so much shit about coronavirus that I'm paranoid.
True.
I've been saying that. Even when I was like, when we was at Hornets games, I was like, I don't know, man, we might need to stop going.
The last one or two games before it got canceled.
Yeah, I remember thinking that, and turns out I should have listened to my gut, because it was like, you know, coronavirus been in America since, you know, last November or some shit. It's like, okay, so maybe some of the things I was reading was right.
Yeah, because I remember one of the last games we went to, somebody was coughing, and I was looking like, you know what, I don't know about this.
Right, could have been us. I'm just saying, I come home, we wipe off everything, put everything up,
wipe the doorknobs down.
Yeah, put the fresh stuff in the containers, and then I even take my clothes off and either change clothes or take a shower. All that shit. And now, you know, if Karen's with me, I'll be like, hey, change those clothes, you know, make sure you do this, wipe down your phone. Like, I'm not playing, man. If it get me, it was just some Final Destination. It was just trying to get me.
Like, it I don't was know like, you are the target. It was aggressive for me.
Yeah, if it get me, dog, it was out here. Okay, understand. But I was gonna say, I read two new, like, I think they were peer reviewed, scientific experiment studies or some analysis of two of the places that it spread in China. One of them was a call center, you know,
and that would make sense because they probably in close quarters.
And the other one was a restaurant, and they explain how it worked. And it seems that for the vast majority of people who are going to get this, through community spread or even family spread, whatever, it's because you're less than 6 feet apart, and because people are sitting in a place for hours without a lot of circulating air.
Right.
So workplaces, restaurants, sporting events, things like that are gonna be real, like, and it was like down to like 1 meter. So like if you sat within a meter, which is about 3 feet of some of these people, oh, is that a yard? A nice. Meter, maybe that's 6 feet. Matter of fact, let me look up meter to feet before I don't. Some motherfucker right here.
You know, I don't know.
That is not the conversion. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a dumbass American. Okay, I didn't ask for this.
Somebody pushed their glasses up right now and shifted their pocket protector. They typing.
Didn't nobody ask for this shit, okay?
I got a degree in math, Rob.
I know it's somebody from like Australia or Britain where they smarter than us. That's fine.
I know, they don't use the metric system.
We learned feet and inches and stupid shit.
Yes, we did.
Of course, I'd rather learn kilometers and fucking miles and things that can easily divisible by 10. Of course. Anyway, it's about 3 feet. But so the people that mostly got the coronavirus, were within 3 feet of the person that had it.
So
it didn't seem to be this kind of thing where you get it from, and they sat close to them for an extended period of time. So it wasn't even like, you know, they just walked by and somehow got a whiff of a motherfucking coronavirus. It was like you kind of have to be in an area with a person for an extended period of time, standing still, and close.
Yeah, and a lot of jobs, particularly cubicles, I was talking to your mom about this today, and I was saying a lot of jobs have gotten really cheap. They don't want to buy and invest in cubicles. Cubicles used to be tall, and they used to kind of box you off where everybody was individual. But now everybody want to get to this quote-unquote open concept, and the fuck is the open concept? There's nothing but a germ disease type of thing, because one person gets sick, next thing you know it, don't wipe that whole corner. It happens all the time. Either they don't have cubicles, or either the cubicles are really, really low, which means somebody get a cold, somebody get sick. Y'all see it in the workplace. So yes, it's gonna be really hard to convince people to, unless they have to come back to work, where everybody is literally 2 feet from each other in these cubes.
Yeah, so and I think that helps with the paranoia too. So yes, you can go sit out on your porch. Yes, you can, you know, it sounds like even exercise and going for a walk and shit is gonna be fine. You know, it seems like, at least from what I've read so far, a lot of, and maybe it'll change, but a lot of this stuff, is about close contact and sitting around for extended periods of time. Doesn't mean, which means social distancing is the right thing.
Right.
Stay far away from people, mask up, that kind of shit. You know, doesn't mean open restaurants and sit 6 feet from each other is gonna necessarily be a death sentence that way. Cause they even checked the air conditioning to be like, well, maybe it can spread via air conditioning.
Right.
But they didn't even find any evidence that was true. They did say that like being around the air conditioner might have an effect because it does suck the air particles closer to that area of the restaurant or whatever.
Right.
But they was like, even still, the people that got it was people sitting right next to them. Nobody else in the restaurant got it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay, so that's proximity.
And in the office, nobody on, like, a person that had it on, some people had it, but the most concentration of people that had it was on the 11th floor with this one person that they knew for sure was sick. So even people like getting in the elevator and touching the same buttons, that wasn't how people got it.
It was just like you said, prolonged period of time.
Yeah. So, all right. The poll was, we already said what the poll is. The comments. Brittany says, I wipe everything down before I take it in the house, groceries, bags, etc. I'm afraid to bring the germs inside to my kids. I also have an underlying condition. Being a black woman, I know that's not uncommon. My mother-in-law thinks I'm doing too much, but I'd rather do too much than too little, right? That's how I've justified it. Maybe I look crazy, but
if it get me, it was just meant to get me.
Like, didn't let me look crazy, okay? Brooklyn Chuve says, I wipe down cans, bottles, the counters I had, the groceries on, the refrigerator handles just to be safe. Same, sis, same. Wipe it all down, okay?
Wipe me down.
Shoulders, chest, pants, shoes.
Come on.
Felix says, I try to wipe down anything I know I'll be touching a lot, so snack packaging, bottles, cans, plastic covers for things like tissue and wipes just to be safe. Can't be too careful. Yeah. And I actually take my bottle or canned soda, if I'm gonna be mixing it with a drink, I just go ahead and open it up and pour it into a cup. I've already wiped them off with Lysol and everything. I still don't care. Nope. Gotta go in the bottle.
Just in case one decides to linger around.
You might just be chilling. Iman says, we have a setup in our garage, a fold out table with Clorox wipes to wipe everything down, extra plastic cup bags to throw away packaging and any possible contaminated things. For food delivery, we set a TV tray table outside our front door. That's smart. Yo, we should do that. We got one.
We do. Yeah, we got one. That way they know where to sit it.
Yeah. We ain't using it for nothing. Cause I don't like when they deliver the food and sit on the ground. Cause I'd be like, what if like an enterprising ass varmint runs up in there? I don't know what these animals is thinking. Okay.
Okay. That's what I do. It's dusty. I'll wipe it down and put it.
I've been seeing a little too much, stuff on Twitter where these animals getting too comfortable now that we're not out here.
Come on. Walk outside and coyotes staring at you. No, thank you.
Like, I don't want to look outside and just like a motherfucking squirrel is just eating my dumplings. Like, that ain't cool. Who told you could do that?
Right. You know, it's deer near here too.
Uh, 2090, all on the side, was when we had our man Mike Cannon on.
That was fun.
Asked him about 8 to 10 questions. Amon says, hey y'all, I really like Mike as a guest. Not sure if you had him on before. We have. I've been listening for a few years now, but maybe it's an episode I missed. It's been a while. Anytime you guys think about a guest or something you want to hear, go to the blackouttips.com. There's a search bar at the top of the screen. Mm-hmm. You can put in that guest name and then their episodes will come up. I've been listening for years for now, but maybe it's an episode I've missed, but he was really great and I really appreciate the conversation y'all had about being in your head thinking someone is upset with you. I think a lot of us struggle with some version of that. For me, it's wondering if someone thinks my ideas are bad or if I offended someone. Oh, well, welcome to the club, buddy. This past month, I found out that there were two people who were upset with me and I never noticed. One messaged me to apologize about it and I let her know I had no idea what she was talking about. Yeah, let me tell you something else though about that. That's really, wild. And shit, I'm sure Mike Kaplan, if he was here, he would say this in a much longer way, but, you were worried. It's ironic. You worry so much about having pissed somebody off or them not liking you. And then when it happened, you didn't even notice. So that tells you how much anxiety and wasted energy you had because you worried about this thing. Thinking, because the reason we worry is like, because maybe I could pick it up. Hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? And here it is, it happened. So the thing that you thought, you know, worrying about happening would maybe keep from happening or help you mitigate the harm of such thing happening, it happened anyway. So, and at the end of the day, it didn't even really fuck up your life. You didn't even notice. So anyway, that's advice for me to take myself. That's not just for you. That is, you just helped me realize that. The other person was my sister who blocked me, lol. She was upset I never noticed once she unblocked me. I assumed she was busy. It was weird because when I'm upset with someone, I let them know, and if I'm really done with you, you're blocked or unfriended. Enjoy this episode. Ma, thank you. Yeah, my thing is, I don't let everybody know when they've upset me. I can't even front like that. I don't. And especially with the shit we do for a living, the life I lead now, there's too many people that the thing it mostly makes me realize is that this person is not that important to me. So somebody says some wild crazy shit or something, I normally would just either unfriend them, mute them, whatever, because it's like, that's not actually my friend.
No.
And the opposite for the people that are my friend, I really will stop and be like, yeah, yo, like, what was this about?
Yeah, because like I said, my time and energy is very valuable, and the thing is, you know, if it does bother me, you know, I have a handful of people that I will, you know, talk to about and things like that. And a lot of times by the time I've talked it out, I've hashed it out through my head, and a lot of times that's funny, I've gotten over it, and I've like, right, so you realize, oh, they're not that important anyway, you just keep it going.
Well, I think it's just very rare that I have someone that hits the right Venn diagram of being close enough to me that I need to, that I feel the need to say something to them.
Right.
But also saying some crazy shit. Like, most of the people I'm close to just don't do that kind of like wild, ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, I don't keep those people around us.
Yeah, so for the most part, I haven't really had too many conversations with people where I had to be like that. And also because I, you know, someone's that close to me, I love and appreciate them and I respect them. I will rather ask why they did something because maybe I'm missing the reasoning.
Right.
I don't just assume I know everything and I'm right, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that really was weird for me was realizing a couple years ago that some people are just overly familiar, but you're not friends.
Right.
That was a hard one for me because as an introvert, I don't really get close with a lot of people in general. So when I let someone in my circle, I feel like that makes us a friend. That means we're friends now. But then I, you know, realize over time, like, no, that person is not necessarily my friend because in my friendships, I do things like me and my friend disagree and we can talk it out and joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
In my friendships, I never assume the worst of my friend.
Oh no.
Period. You know what I mean? So like when, literally I can't be bothered by someone being like, hey, you know, so-and-so said such and such. I'll talk to that nigga tomorrow and it's no big deal. Like, mm-hmm. You know, that's how I do. I mean, people listen to my conversations with Justin. That's how we talk all the fucking time. You know, if not more explicit than shit, cause you know, we on the mic. So I'm sure that shit that we say about people and without censoring the names and stuff that would blow everybody's mind. But yeah, so it's that kind of shit that, you know, I realized like, oh man, this is really important for me from this point on to define friendship more specifically. But yeah, I also stay in my head, and that's what happened with Mike. Joe says Mike Kaplan is hilarious. His mind stays working like with the wordplay. Maybe it was an illusion, but when Mike put on the theory that plants were communicating with man through consumption, Rob briefly looked like he needed a moment. That was a really deep thought. It was. I did need a moment because I was thinking, what have we been eating these little delicious, intelligent motherfuckers? Wouldn't that be interesting?
It would be, but you are delicious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Living Plant.
Yeah, I always say that because like vegetarians and vegans, I always kind of have this like, we're better than y'all thing. But I'm like, what if a plant suffers and feels pain, but we just don't understand how plants feel pain? So like plants.
Yeah, they don't got eyes, so they don't stare at you. Yeah.
Plants on some level are just as mass produced and fucked up as animals, but we'll never understand why ear corn feels, you know, terrible about having pesticides thrown on it. You know, we'll never understand that. So. Really Dark Knight says, Dear Karen and husband, Mike was great and I love this episode. Near the end of the episode, Rob brought up the analogy of the protesters and the cytokine storm that actually kills people by giving them pneumonia from the coronavirus. If you don't know the concept, you really should look it up or listen to that part again because it's really apt. Mostly white folks out here protesting in these streets and are going to get themselves and other people's killed while arguing that people want to go back to work. If the choice is to go back to work and die, listen, I'm staying my black ass inside at home, period, peace.
Come on. Unless I am absolutely positively forced to.
Yeah, the thing, I came up with that analogy during the show. Before the show, I've been thinking about it, but you know, Mike is a great person to voice that kind of thing with because he'll let you kind of expound upon it and think it out with you, but yeah, man, in a weird way, it's like the government and certain politicians who are doing a good job are all of our immune systems trying to do work, you know? And then these anti-vax, open up the country, Republican type people are like, the people that come and destroy everything
because
they think they're destroying. They're like, no, well, I don't know for sure what they think because some of them are bought and paid for, but on some level they feel like the cure for the disease is destroying our body. And it's like, that's what the cytokine storm is. That's what it does. It's your attack cells. I forget which ones are your attack cells. I think white blood cells, maybe. But it's the cells that come in and just go, we don't know which are in the infected lung cells. We don't know which are the healthy lung cells.
It's like, we came to fight. It's a fight. We killing everybody.
They destroy all the cells, and that's what pneumonia is.
Everybody gets some.
That's what pneumonia is, and that's why our lungs, that's why people who's experienced this disease, sometimes their lungs that's basically become inoperable, and they have to be on that respirator and stuff. All right, the poll was, have you ever tried an open relationship? Yes, but it wasn't for me. Yes, and I'm currently in one. Not yet, or nope, not for me.
I've never tried it.
Yeah, for me, yes, and I'm currently in one.
Who the third person?
What? Oh, person? People, you mean? I got a whole nother family, Karen.
I'm sorry.
It's just open on my side. I just didn't know.
Oh, so it's closed on my side?
Yeah, it's a one side open relationship. Many people call it cheating.
So all the doors ain't open?
A lot of people are in these.
Can I open up the window then?
A lot of people are in these and don't know. Okay, so just spread the word, okay? It's not cheating. It's an open relationship on one side secretly. All right. Nah, I've never been in one. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I'm built for that. It's just me. It's not knocking anyone who is, though. Let's get to these replies. Really Dark Knight says, props to all of y'all who are interested in an open relationship. I know it isn't for me. I mean, monogamy is hard enough, and I think some men would just think of the sex aspect, but that is a small part of the relationship and seems like a lot of demand, a lot of damn work to keep everyone happy. Peace. Yeah, it's weird because it's like the free love 60s, right? Remember that? The free love 60s, for those that were old enough to remember it or mm-hmm. watched the right documentary, such as myself.
Right.
The free love era was all this, like, you know, we're not going to let the man tell us who to love. And, you know, sex is just a bodily function and all this shit. And then people re-looked at that era and it's like, that was mostly just men fucking any woman they wanted. And then having no consequences and no responsibilities to those women.
Right. Were the women actually free in a lot of these situations? Some were, but were most of them?
Right. Like while the women may have been making these choices and free to make them, a lot of the men that were benefiting, it wasn't like then women got equality and they were like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're just fucking all these young, attractive women who happen to just be free spirits. We're just fucking them all and then we're gonna give them jobs in our corporations. We're fucking them all and they're just whores to us. We're not respecting right. anybody. So yeah, I think, anyway, all that to say, I think a lot of times when people pitch open relationships, a lot of men pitch it on this, yeah, you know, because we animals or we need this. But what they're really thinking is, I would like to fuck other people, not you, not, you know.
Because a lot of times when a woman be like, well, hey, I want my side to be open too, a lot of men have a fucking fit.
Yeah, not like I want you to have other women involved in our relationship. Maybe you could have some lesbian type sex, but you, yeah, like,
you can pick the woman.
I don't want you to actually be with another person in that type of way, right. You know, romantically, but I do want to be able to do that shit, you know. So that's a lot of people's version of it. Now that's not the only version, mm-hmm. obviously, that's, you know, but those people give it a bad rap because
right.
there's so many men that just feel like, this is me fucking other women, you know. I saw a thing on Twitter the other day where they was doing the Don't Rush challenge, but it was with thruples, like people with three people in a relationship instead of just two.
Okay.
Every thruple was a dude with two women. I was like, I don't know, y'all didn't see a pattern here. Well, like, you know, and like each one, it was like the man would change it to some clothes that I won't comment on their clothes, but some clothes, and then the two women would come up next to him. And I was like, I don't even see what, like, this doesn't seem like a lot of diversity in these thrubles. It seemed like two brown women splitting a man.
Oh, so it's not one woman and two men?
Everyone was one man, two women. Every last one of them.
Yeah, they got that one dick rule.
Yeah, so
not everybody, but some, yeah. A lot of times it's the one dick rule.
So I just don't think I think the version of open relationships that a lot of, as Dark Knight said, that a lot of people talking about is, to a lot of men, is just me fucking more than one woman and everybody being cool with it, you know, as opposed to if, you know, if it was two men living in the same house, all of a sudden that then hurts their masculinity, their standing, you know, like all that type of shit.
Yeah, which it really doesn't, but for a lot of people, yes.
Yeah, but it's because it's not really about that woman being happy and everyone being happy. It's really correct. About what's best for me. Green Eyed Bandit says, does it count as an open relationship if the other person finds out after the fact asking for an ex? Brittany says, I said yes and it wasn't for me, but only because I couldn't just say yes. I loved it. The only reason I'm not in one now is because I moved away from that relationship and my fiance is not cool with it. He's just a bit jealous that he's always thinks I'm going to leave him for another woman. I wouldn't do that, but I think I would add one to the relationship, get a break sometimes, LOL. Yeah, I think that's got to be the struggle for bi people, is the distrust from either gender being like, right. Well, that didn't, you gonna cheat, you gonna leave, well, so how do I know you gonna stay with me and not pick this other person all the time and stuff like that. And
yeah, like
I'm sure there's nightmares about that, but you know that people in straight relationships do that all the time,
right? Like you can't be bi and monogamous, like,
right? But people, I'm saying people in straight relationships, people leave them for somebody else all the time anyway. Like, it's not,
yes, they do.
There's no guarantee that if we stay together, like anyway, but yeah, but at the same time, I appreciate, you gotta change your fears, honesty, putting it out there and being like, yeah, I'm actually not cool with that, and then letting you make that choice, because to me that's the only thing can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
versus saying you cool and getting it and realize that they not cool with this at
like
all.
You see so many nightmare stories of somebody who says they were cool and one part of the couple was never fucking cool, and it's just a slow erosion of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because it's like eventually it's gonna come out, like, I don't like this, you're fucking other people that aren't me, I don't like it. I like people that go, we used to have threesomes all the time. Yeah, and then the more and more the person got some leverage in a relationship, the less and less you did it. Guess what that means? Somebody is not down with this shit at right. some point. You know, when it's all of a sudden it's like, maybe on your birthday, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this person's not really cool with this as they said they were. Which happens, you know, it's the honeymoon period. There's a lot of shit that happens in the honeymoon period that people think, oh yeah, I'm gonna be doing this forever. It's like, no, you won't. Episode 2091, Raise the Barn. Justin W says, great episode. I really like how you all talked about the media, how irresponsible they are for airing Trump briefings while he lies and tells people to take unproven medicine. The profit motive in the media needs to be fixed if we want fair reporting.
Correct.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Justin. We had someone in the chat that I guess works in the media arena and seemed to be taking it kind of like personal or something. But I don't know, I've thought about this a lot and I just feel like it's irresponsible for the media to play that shit, man. They are part of the problem when it comes to this. Like the other day when he starts talking about people need to inject bleach and inject light into them and maybe drink, yo, put that shit on a delay. Like then when he says something, no, take that shit out. That we know that's not true. And if some motherfucker dies because they watch CNN and there was no counter, you know what I'm saying, we just let this on the air,
no counter argument.
If I worked there, I would feel responsible. If we then brought on Kellyanne Conway to argue the pros of drinking bleach, I would also feel responsible. I don't give a fuck if Don Lemon was there to cuss her out. It don't make no difference. She shouldn't even be on there, is my point. So I think that's what I was trying to get at, and hopefully most people understood that, because I think there is a level of responsibility, of course, of covering the news. Like,
oh yeah, it needs have to be covered.
He has a press conference, cool. Let's actually cover it though. Let's bring it on, bring up the relevant clips and break it down rather than just give this nigga a fucking platform. Cause, you know, I feel like that shit is, part of the problem at this point. So, but yeah, as always with Trump, man, all I gotta do is wait a couple of days. That nigga gonna always prove me right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gonna always prove what I'm, like, Trump keeps taking shit to the next level. Literally the day before that, I was like, yo, it's irresponsible. Okay, cool. You know, that's the media shouldn't be involved for that. Okay, cool. The next day, the nigga's like, drink bleach. Okay. All right. What's he gonna say tomorrow? You know what I mean? Like, are we really doing this? Can we finally admit, like, maybe it's part of the problem is letting a fucking narcissist psychopath have the fucking room and have all the attention of everybody without even fucking limiting it in any fucking way. Like, maybe that does make us part of the problem. Maybe that makes us
complicit. What are you gonna do today? I wonder what you're gonna do tomorrow. This guy
This guy's just pissing. He's pissing all over us. He's pissing on you. What does it taste like? Chief, what does it taste like? Cause you know what? It tastes like piss to me.
And yeah, if they say you're editorializing, that's already what the fuck the news does. There was never a time when the news doesn't editorialize what the fuck happens. 0% have we ever had. There's never been a newscast where they didn't put some level of like, and this is what you saw. You know what I mean? Like, so Gus, go ahead and fucking do your job. If that's the case, then just fucking set up a camera in the White House and we don't need people there. Do a job. Classic R&B lover says, I voted no on the poll, but I have, what was the poll? Oh, okay. So instead of commenting on the poll, she commented on the site, but the poll is, would you pay a small fee to see the versus battles? Yes or no? 13% say yes. 87% say no. Classic R&B lover says, I voted on the poll, no on the poll, but I don't have and refuse to get Instagram. I feel overburdened by Twitter and next to no time I spend on Facebook. So I'm not able to watch. Oh. Well, yeah, you probably should have. I didn't know to put that as an option. I don't even have Instagram. I shouldn't be voting on this, you know? Mark says, I thought about going to see one of those battles, even for free. I saw clips from Teddy Riley versus Babyface Royale on Deezus and Mero. Even assumed, they only showed the messed up parts. If that is how these battles go, no thank you. Oh, well, I thought I expressed it on the show, but my point is if you pay for it, then all of a sudden, you know, the quality jumps, right?
Yes, it does.
Your sound is better.
Mm-hmm. You would have people, even if they remotely, doing all the little things that the standards that people say.
Right. No websites dropping.
They'd be able to hold the capacity.
That kind of stuff. So. Mm-hmm. You would think that some cable channels might pony up some money to run some of these. ESPN is running horse tournaments. This isn't in their wheelhouse, but TV seems desperate. Kim Doc says, the nostalgia I felt every time Babyface came through with another hit was something I haven't felt in such a long time. I'd consider paying for that. Babyface left to say goodbye with Madonna, Unbreak My Heart, Baby 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 by TLC and other monster bops. While Teddy still had No Diggity, Remember the Time, and the rest of the Dangerous album. The keys to these battles is the monumental song you finish off with. Everyone knew Neo was coming with Irreplaceable, and everyone knew Jonta had We Belong Together in the Tuck. But the moment when the songs start playing and the chat room and Twitter lose their shit and reminisce is what was missing from the Teddy versus Face battle. I'm gonna always be okay with that. Our old R&B uncles tried their best to figure out these internets. They did. Lakita says, I haven't even engaged in these battles for free. I'm on the I don't care what the fuck everybody else doing age. Suits me fine. Yeah, I hear you. I haven't watched really any, but I know it's just not my thing. It's not a, you know, it's not a personal slight to anyone involved. I think I'm just glad people having fun sitting in the house doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's the thing. As long as it's entertaining people, I don't have a problem with it. Because the thing is, a lot of people had a good time, even though, you know, the first time, you know, all the jokes and stuff, but it was still entertaining to people.
Have they had a gospel one yet?
I think the way they send the chat room, they're supposed to have one tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. So I'm telling you, man, they own it.
Mm-hmm.
2092, news that no longer matters. We had one comment. EVE says, fuck Donald Trump. You know what?
Agreed.
I agree. I know me and EVE don't always think,
but we on the same page.
But, today, I gotta say, this is the day that that EVE became president. Poll, who do you see wearing masks in public more often? Black people, white people, or I don't go outside?
For me, all black people.
41% of the audience says black people. I wonder if that's because we're around them more, too.
Y'all have a tendency to spot them out in crowds more.
41% said, I don't go outside.
Poe, baby, you need some sunshine. You're like a plant.
18% say white people. Let's check out the comments. D. Troubadour says, voted white people because I haven't seen another black person since March. This ain't over quite yet. Keep your mask on. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, my part of Brooklyn is majority Asian and many of them wear masks before COVID-19. However, a majority of people without masks are 30 to 40 something white folks. I only go out every couple of days to stretch my legs and I only walk 4 or 5 blocks. There's not many people in the streets. It's pretty off-putting. Yeah. I feel you. I do feel like I see less white people wearing masks though now. You know, at least on the trips out. Like, I really was noticing it the other day.
Mm-hmm. I see more of them. And I know you're talking about walking early in the morning. Like, that's something that I might start doing just so. Because, yeah, you're right. We went outside in the afternoon. The people were packed everywhere. I was like, no, I don't think I could deal with this.
Yeah, and the other day I went out in the morning and seen people walking in the morning. I was like, damn. Like, it's getting crowded out here now. Brooklyn Shoe Babe said,
the longer it is, the more and more people are like, okay, we can go out the house now. We've been stuck in here for weeks.
Mark says, most of the black people I see have masks, except the guys who are too cool for the mask. Oh, yeah. Also, gloves. One man had a giant cross, assuming it wasn't for the virus, but still. We might have just wanted to floss on some people. Kim Doc says, praying we get to actually vote in some capacity in November. Every time we say they can't get away with filling the corruption bingo card or the Republicans won't let such and such slide, shit slides and they get away with it. 4 more years will send us into Handmaid's Tale's level of society. Definitely possible, man. Somebody got a cough on Trump then. Lakita says, at first I saw mostly black people with gloves and masks. Then I started seeing whites do it more, but still not as much as the blacks. I was happy to see the people are finally getting it now. But lots of whites in Nebraska seem to believe that their whiteness is some kind of shield. Touching people, talking all close and shit, putting their nasty ass fingers in their mouth, but they're slowly acting like they have some sense. Oh, that makes sense though. White people would wear less.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a lot of them vote Republican. So it's a lot, you know, since one party is out here like, it ain't even a big deal, then of course those people are out here like, yeah, it ain't even a big deal. That makes a lot of sense. Felix says, I only go to the stores that are 5 minutes walks from my house, and most times I'm the only one wearing a mask and gloves. Wow. There's cases in my city in North England, so I really don't understand that people aren't extra cautious. One time a lady was out with her 2 kids, no mask or gloves, and one of the little gremlins was coughing and they would not give me space. The mom was begging them to, but I ended up having to turn around and politely ask them to give me some space. Felt so bad having to scold someone else's kids and the lady was so apologetic. If stuff wasn't running out for folks hoarding early on, I think there'd be less people out desperately looking for necessities. I'm really lucky my local supermarket was bought out by an international company, though. Would have died without my array of seasonings and tropical fruits. Well, we all tropical people, Felix. Mm-hmm. So you gotta do what you gotta do to take care of yourself, okay?
Don't want no bland food, baby.
Alright, that's all the feedback on the website. Thank you, everybody, who...
Thank you!
Took the time to leave us some feedback. I believe we have one voicemail at the voicemail line, which is 704-557-0186. 704-557-0186. Oh wait, this is a butt dial? Wow, butts have been blowing us up lately. Okay, let me tell you something. Nobody loves us as much as a butt dial.
Nobody loves us as much as these butts.
Okay, I think this is the second week in a row we got a butt dial. So, shout out to butts.
Shout out to big booties.
You know, I've always been an ass man, but, you know, not that. It's like picking a favorite child, though, really, isn't it? But I guess they love me back, okay? They are all up on the request line. All right, let me see what emails we have, because, you know, it'll take forever to look on my... computer, so I'll just check the Gmail.
Forever.
The blackguytips@gmail.com. Rebecca writes saying, blacks are human too. Good afternoon, Rod and Karen. On the subject of that vow pastor, not only does he have the audacity to hit the needy up for their stimulus checks, but he showed his face on CNN talking about providing 27 buses to round up people who want to come to his service. He said he was going to provide a meal and service for the poor. In his words, these people are so poor they don't have access to the internet. That is why I feel we cannot have sermons online. And then he's, well, then how are they gonna give you tithes? And then he said that his flock were being discriminated against, and the ACLU should be looking into it. I'll give credit where it's due. The reporter pointed out that he doesn't need to collect his Flock stimulus checks since he can apply for relief with the government. The pastor said he didn't want to be a burden on the already overwhelmed system, and the reporter quipped, "But you'll take that exempt status?" I was hot after watching that, but then I realized if you're stupid enough to fall for this bullshit, then you deserve that fleecing. That pastor needs a serious, godly lesson and quick. And did you notice in that video, the pastor calling out the challenge was what was behind him? Man, that was a beautiful yacht dock. Bet he got one of the biggest yachts of his flock. He probably got the only yacht. He just straight up vowed, and there's no place for unrepentant men like that. Not this day and age. Thanks guys for another episode. So great. I had to write you an email. Not to worry though. I'm getting paid to do it on company time. Keep safe, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's wild.
I didn't even notice that.
That dude's a piece of shit, man. I'm telling you, man. And you know, I am one, you know, agnostic, atheist, whatever you want to call me. But I'm telling y'all, man, these motherfuckers got to be atheists, man. It don't make sense. How the fuck can you be this evil in the name of God unless you really don't believe in that shit? And you was like, they gonna give me money for saying anything? So I could just keep saying, give me your money. I don't gotta do nothing. I just show up and be like, God wants your money, and they gonna give it to me. Well, yes, I'll do it. For a yacht? You know, for a private yacht. It was either this or go to school for something. I mean, come on. Simone says, episode 2088. Hey, Rod and Karen. I have been trying to stay positive, but being at a distance from my ailing grandmother and solo quarantining is hard. Karen and her burgeoning rap freestyle career made me laugh and clap. Thank you for helping me find joy. Rod, you were great too, but MC Karen was a breakout star. Y'all have some super talented listeners. There are so many times that I learned something new or laugh really hard during the feedback show. Those beats were flames. Glad you all are staying safe, and I appreciate every episode that you make during these crazy pandemic times. Thank you, heart emoji, Sim Simma. Thanks, Simone.
Thank you.
And no, I feel like that whole episode was about Karen and her great freestyling, so there's no need to apologize to me. I don't even think I freestyled or anything.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, that was all Karen with the bars. She was so good, I was like, what's left to say? Zinzi says, hey Rod and Karen, I've been meaning to write in for a while now, but I keep getting distracted. I wanted to thank you guys in particular for the content during the coronapocalypse. It's been hard these days not to let the panic and anxiety overwhelm me, but your coverage has helped me get more confident about leaving the house to go grocery shopping. I also wanted to say that I agree with Rod about having faith in your government institutions, because trust me, you don't want to live in a situation where you can't trust any public officers.
Right.
Here in Nigeria, the person in charge of our COVID-19 response is not a doctor or a scientist of any sort. A majority of the tests that have been done are actually just politicians getting tested over and over again while the virus spreads in local communities that do not have testing being done. To make matters worse, the president's chief of staff recently succumbed to the virus, and he came in contact with a lot of people before he even submitted himself to testing and eventually died. We don't actually know the extent of our exposure or have a strategy. We've been under lockdown for a month in my state, but in other states, like where my mom lives, the state government refuses to take action because the governor thinks it will make him look weak politically. We are all literally living on a prayer here. So as long as you guys have some people in authority who are actually doing their jobs, I think it's right to keep having faith in them. Our situation in Nigeria makes it very hard to stay positive, but you guys are a big help. Your updates, your jokes, your level heads make me feel like there might be some light at the end of this tunnel after all. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you again. God bless you guys. I just wish I had the coins to go premium, but I had a dream that one day I would make it to the TBGWT mountaintop. Amen.
Amen, baby.
Stay safe and healthy, and please stop talking to those strangers. Karen, you're too precious to us. Love, Zinzi.
Thank you.
She's been doing way better with the talking to strangers, guys. Now I also have mostly been like, you stick to my side during the store, because people mostly leave us alone if they see me. And
they do. When I'm by myself, it's a whole different story.
And thank God for the mask, because now we had a mask, so they can't see Karen smiling at them.
They can't.
Trying to get attention and shit.
They can't.
you know, it's been,
I smile through the bass, but they can't see it.
It's been a lot safer lately, guys. So, you know, just y'all keep praying for us though. I'm taking it one day at a time, you know, try to take it to stuff where we don't have to get out the car, you know, the car wash, something like that. Feedback show. This is from Trey, who says, hey, Rod and Karen, just wanted to send you a big thank you as my feedback show comments. Thanks so much for the premium discount offer. I went ahead and took advantage of it and signed up for premium. Hey!
Hey, welcome to the club.
I didn't even know Trey wasn't, I don't know why I always assumed you was premium, Trey. I was going to do this back in March, but my birthday came up and then the Rona hit and my mind started focusing on other things. Obviously, nothing wrong with that. But anyways, thanks so much for that, and I can't wait to get started listening to the backlog of premium shows. Thanks, Trey Swindu.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, or just to elaborate a little bit more, that was an idea that Karen had, really, to do the sale. Karen's such a businesswoman, you know, like like I know how to do a lot of technical stuff, but Karen's always like, we could do this, you know, and sometimes I do come up with stuff too, you know, like I think I came up with the Black Friday sale, and the Cyber Monday sale, and that was a thing that I wasn't even sure if we could do that on our site, but I figured it. I was like, I kept thinking about it for years, and I was like, oh, this is how we can do it. And so that was, you know, it was cool to be able to do that. And I know, like, in this time, like, there's people that, you know, they're trying to save some money, you know, maybe they're premium already, and they're like, well, if I switch over to this $100 a year, that's basically $8 a month,
right?
And for $8 a month I can swing this, but, you know, paying the full price I can't anymore, because I know a lot of people that are premium, they actually, some of them don't even listen to shows, they just love and support us and want to make sure that we're here,
right?
You know, because we do put out a lot of content, so they might not even have time to listen to all that shit, but they just want to make sure that we're here and stuff. And I know that this is about to be a difficult time, and people, you know, people might have to make some decisions and cut some things, so I just want to, like, I just like what Karen's is, who it was her idea, but I just thought it was such a great idea because it will provide some people the ability to, like, have some economic relief in all this. And then of course, you know, we made it a joke, you know, because all these commercials on TV are like, right now, Ford pickup truck,
we're doing it for you,
for your stimulus check, you
we're
know,
we're in this together.
Yeah, you know, it's just, they really just want your money, they don't give a fuck about you. But with us, it's like, if you already had this bill and you want to reduce it,
right,
here's a way. But also, if you don't have this bill and you want to listen to premium shit because you stuck at home, and now what, there's nothing else to do,
nothing else to do,
so now you're like, hey, I would love to be able to listen to all this shit y'all got, that I, yeah, you know, because I got the time,
right? I hear y'all talking about just in the pregame and all this other stuff, and I would love to hear your movie reviews and all that stuff. Now you can.
So anyway, that's what happened, guys. So thank you, and thank you for signing up. I get an email every time a new person signs up, and I can't stress enough, if you have any issues on the site, you have any issues with your login, any issues seeing the premium page, any issues figuring out how to get the RSS feeds to work, email me, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. We'll figure it out. I've walked so many people through this shit at this point, y'all. Like, it's not, you're not a bother. You okay? This,
oh, no.
Like, I know
that's
we're,
our job.
I know it's a staff of one, essentially, when it comes to.
It is a staff of one.
When it comes to IT, I know, and some people, if
I do the other shit, but yeah, IT is one.
I know if you're thinking like me, then you're a person that, I don't want to be a bother. You're not being a bother. You're not a pain in the ass. If I can walk Karen through, I have years of training. I have walked Karen through so many technical things.
Yes.
There's no way you can be worse than that. Okay. So y'all.
And I'm bad. I done went from, you know, what is a cookie to being able to do a ring.
Right. So I'm just saying, we can get there together. I'm not going to fuss at you. I'm not like these other blacks on Twitter that have businesses that then take screenshots of y'all's emails and tell everybody how much they fucking hate having customers, right, who give them money. I'm not one of those people.
We do good customer service.
So, you know, I worked in corporate America. I know you can't be talking to your customers all crazy.
Not
so,
if you want their money, no sir.
Email me if you have an issue, and we'll figure it out together. I try to get back to people as fast as possible, but, you know, Sometimes a nigga got sleep and eating shit, but you know, we'll figure it out, guys. So thank you to everybody who took the time to sign up, period. Cooley High is the name of this one from MLN, who says, watch Cooley High, you will not be disappointed. Yeah, I think on This Too Much I mentioned I have not seen Cooley High or School Days.
Now I see School Days. I probably have seen Cooley High. I don't remember because that's been so long ago. I think I have, not sure, but I know for a fact I seen School Days.
Yeah, I don't think
probably,
I've seen
too young. I didn't know what the hell was happening.
Yeah, I don't think I've, I know I haven't seen either one, or if I have, I definitely don't remember. So it's just a missing hole in my blackness, y'all. Okay, call me Kenya Barris, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
not black enough for you niggas. Ungrateful niggas. No, just kidding.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I got some black holes too. I've never seen a wire. Yeah, some black shit I done missed too.
Everybody do, man, but whenever someone brings up theirs, that's when everybody goes crazy. Mm-hmm. It's funny. At this point it's becoming enough for me to just like, I like low key don't want to watch it because of how it makes people feel. Because I know,
so passionate.
Because I know everyone got them, and this can be part of my personality, is that I have, these are my two, you know. It's like, oh, you never seen Fear of a Black Hat or some shit, and it's like, it's like porn for me to look in a black person's face when they see that my blackness is incomplete, when I let them know, like, you know, I don't know, whatever, just some iconic black, I've never seen New Jack City. I mean, I have a million times, but if I could just see, maybe I'm gonna make up some so I can look in people's face just to fuck with them.
Make up some.
Like they could be like, am I my brother's keeper? And I just turn to them like, what are you talking about? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, from the movie. What movie?
What are you talking about?
New Jack City. What is that about? Like, I just look at their face explode. Cause they'd be like, how's a nigga this black not know this shit? Like, that would be my new thing. That's gonna be my new thing. Pretend not to get people's fucking references and shit. Alright, y'all. We'll talk to y'all later, man. Till next time. Tomorrow, I guess, will be JL Covan.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Fireside Craps. Volume 2, The Deuce, is, available for pre-order on iTunes right now. Mm-hmm. I pre-ordered mine. And then I put fillers out to several other people about being on the show. So we'll find out soon who else is coming on. But yeah, figured if everyone's stuck in the house, we might as well see if we can get some guests back.
May as well.
All right, y'all. Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.